Good afternoon, everyone. Apparently, 6 feet tall, a six-pack, and a six-figure salary, it's seemingly the bare minimum that men must possess to impress ambitious single women in the city, many of whom are just hoping their date is endowed with a trust fund, an Ivy League degree, and a summer house in the Hamptons. We'll explain what all this means. In the headlines on the update this Friday, several employees in the city of New York, they've been arrested for their alleged role in a scheme to steal the identities of homeless shelter residents and defraud a pandemic-era relief program. We'll have the latest details. It's the 150th birthday of the jockstrap. It's come far from the modest but mighty days protecting the precious parts of bicycle messengers as they navigated the bumpy cobblestones of Boston. It's another nightmare for the Brooklyn Nets as Jaden Ivey scored 34 and Cade Cunningham at 32 with 11 assists to lead the Pistons to their first home win since January. Ben Simmons is going to miss the remainder of the season yet again, the third straight year that the former All-Star's season has ended early because of back problems. And President Biden, he turned his State of the Union speech into an animated argument for a second term as he laced in the GOP frontrunner Donald Trump for espousing, quote, resentment, revenge, and retribution, and jeopardizing freedom at home and abroad. This is the update on International Women's Day, Friday, March the 8th, 2024. Every city has a story. And in New York City, there just happens to be a lot of them. From the Tommy Lynn stage, this is the update with Brandon Julian. A three-time winner of the Kingsborough Community College Gold Student Service Award. It's everything that you need to know, because anything can happen in New York. Greetings and salutations to you all, folks, every last one of you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the update on a Friday. TGIF to all of you out there. We've made it to the weekend. Once again, a weekend that's going to see us spring forward on Saturday night. So, you know, make sure you set your clocks forward 1 hour before you go to bed Saturday night. Yeah, it means losing that precious hour of sleep, but the benefit of it is sunsets near 7 o'clock these days, you know, so that's something to look forward to, I mean. What we're not going to look forward to is this rain that's coming for Saturday once again. The day's going to start out fine, but the rain will slowly creep in as the day goes along, and the flooding rain will come mainly at nighttime. That's why there's actually a flood watch for 6 o'clock in the evening on Saturday till 12 p.m. on Sunday. So, you know, take it easy near the coast. Watch for the ponding and the flooding and all that jazz, you know. Also, today is International Women's Day. We celebrate it annually on March 8th. It's a focal point in the women's rights movement. And it's about giving focus on this day to issues such as gender equality, reproductive rights, and violence and abuse against women. So, you know, stand up for the women, because I've said before in this program, my wife is a transgender woman, and transgender women are women too. Just had to put that out there. I'm Brandon Julian, of course, folks. We appreciate you so much for being here, wherever you may be, and however, of course, personally, that you may be listening to us. Before we dive into the weekend, there is still a lot of news to catch you up on, and we'll begin this Friday's proceedings here in the city. where several employees, they've been arrested now for their alleged role in a scheme to steal the identities of homeless shelter residents and defraud a pandemic-era relief program. Manhattan prosecutors brought charges against 18 people, including 5 employees of the Homeless Services Agency in the city. Prosecutors say they abused their positions to access the personal information of homeless shelter residents, which they then used to obtain over $1 million in pandemic unemployment benefits. Employees of the NYPD, the MTA, and the U.S. Postal Service were also charged in the scheme. Each of the defendants who were arraigned yesterday afternoon pleaded not guilty to charges that included grand larceny, conspiracy, and burglary. Now, on to some of the other news of this Friday. And the federal judge who oversaw the defamation trial that resulted in an over $83 million award to a longtime magazine columnist who says that the former president raped her in the 90s is refusing to relieve the ex-president from the verdict's financial pinch. Judge Lewis Kaplan told Trump's attorney yesterday that he won't delay the deadlines for posting a bond to ensure 80-year-old writer E. Jean Carroll can be paid the award. The judge said any financial harm to Trump results from his slow response to the late verdict back in January. He's noted that Trump's lawyers waited 25 days to seek delay posting of a bond for an award that becomes final on Monday. The Metropolitan Opera, the orchestra there, are going to tour Asia for the first time ever, with 9 performances in South Korea, Japan, and Taiwan from June 19th through the 30th. Music director Yannick Nesit-Seguin will conduct concerts featuring soprano Lizette Oropeza, mezzo-soprano Elenia Garnacha, I think I got that right, and bass baritone Christian Van Horn. Venues include Seoul, Nishinoyama, Tokyo, and Taipei. The full Met has staged performances in Japan in 1975, 1988, 1993, 1997, hey, I was born that year, 2001, 2006, and 2011. Out east we go now to East Hampton in Connecticut, where a small earthquake hit that town on Wednesday, but apparently it's nothing new to them. Seismic sounds known as the Moodus noises, they've been reported in the East Hampton area and the nearby village of Moodus for centuries. In fact, Moodus is short for Machimoodus or Makimoodus, which means place of bad noises in the Algonquin dialects, which once were spoken in the area. A local high school has even nicknamed their teams the Noises in honor of that history. Robert Thorson, an earth sciences professor at the University of Connecticut, says the bangs, rumblings, and tiny quakes are caused by small but unusually shallow seismic displacements within a unusually strong and brittle crust, where the sound is amplified by rock fractures and topography. Back here in the city limits, the future of online gambling is going to be more social and more engaged with players and more targeted to their individual interests. That's according to at least the panelists at an internet gambling forum yesterday. They say that the industry, which is still in its infancy after 10 years, already needs to change to remain relevant. That means getting bettors engaged with the gambling company's brand, accommodating their fondness for social media and communal activity, at targeting experiences to their interests. Seth Shores' company, Fifth Street Gaming, is launching a Latino-themed online social casino, BetJefe.com. And Betty.ca, a Canadian slot site, caters to women. You might not know this, folks, but it's the 150th birthday of the jockstrap. So, happy 150th birthday, dear jockstrap. How far you've come from your modest but mighty days protecting the precious parts of bicycle messengers as they navigated the bumpy cobblestones of Boston. Invented for just that purpose in 1874, the strappy little staple of yore has become a sex symbol of sorts. Bike Athletic has sold more than 350 million jockstraps worldwide. Fashion designers have fancied up jockstraps for catwalks and store shelves. Kristen Stewart, actually, recently pulled on a bike jockstrap for the cover of Rolling Stone. And the jockstrap owes a big debt to the gay men who have embraced it since the 1950s. Meanwhile, there's a major electrical transmission line proposal that's intended to carry power from New England, from Canada, through Vermont and New Hampshire. Well, it's now been canceled. Electric utility National Grid said in an emailed statement yesterday that it has, quote, determined that the project is not viable at this time. The proposed $2,211,000,000 twin state clean energy link was one of three projects around the country selected by the Department of Energy to receive part of $1.3 billion in investment. The proposed underground transmission line would have run through northern Vermont to Londonderry, New Hampshire. It would have been able to deliver renewable power from Canada. And said renewable energy produced by future power generators off the New England coast or other sources. To Long Island we go now, out of Mineola, where a Republican official who prohibited, of course, Bruce Blakeman, the Nassau County executive, who prohibited girls and women's sports teams with transgender athletes from using county facilities, is now asked a federal court to affirm the ban. Blakeman said in a lawsuit that was filed on Tuesday that the cease and desist letter issued by Attorney General Tish James violates the U.S. Constitution's Equal Protection Clause. The Republican argues that forcing him to rescind his executive order denies those who are assigned female at birth the right to equal opportunities in athletics by exposing them to increased risk of injury competing against transgender women. Meanwhile, back here in the city limits, Paul Simon's latest honor places him among public figures that are well outside the music industry. Simon is the winner of this year's Penn Audible Literary Service Award, which previously has been given to former President Obama, the late Nobel laureate Toni Morrison, and Stephen King, among many others. The 82-year-old is known for such classic songs as Bridge Over Troubled Water and The Sound of Silence, and for his globe-spanning musical taste from Brazil to South Africa to his native New York City. Simon will receive his award at the Penn's annual gala to be held on May 16th at the American Museum of Natural History. In other news, the former president is going to be allowed to know the names of the jurors at his upcoming hush money criminal trial. The public, however, will not know. Judge Juan Manuel Merchan ruled yesterday to keep the yet-to-be-picked jury anonymous, with limited exceptions for the former president, his defense lawyers, prosecutors, jury consultants, and legal staffs. Only Trump's lawyers and prosecutors will be allowed to know the addresses of the jurors' homes and workplaces. Trump could risk forfeiting access to the names if he were to disclose them publicly. Jury selection is slated to begin on March 25th. And finally, the fear, of course, on the crime... I should start that over. The fear of crime on subways and buses is back as a top concern across this country. And so are the efforts aimed at persuading the public that officials are taking this issue seriously. We told you yesterday about how Governor Hochul plans to deploy 750 members of the National Guard to patrol the nation's busiest subway system. In Pennsylvania, lawmakers have created a special prosecutor to go after crimes committed in the transit system that serves the southeast part of the state. The mayor of Philadelphia has also promised to beef up police patrols and use, quote, every legal and constitutional tool at her disposal. Hochul acknowledged that calling in the National Guard was as much about soothing fears as making a political statement as it was about making mass transit safer. Time for us to step aside momentarily. When we return on the update this Friday, we have a few important messages to tell you from the MTA. Gonna talk some sports as the Nets lost to the Pistons in Detroit. Ben Simmons is gonna miss the remainder of the season yet again. The third straight year his season has ended early because of back problems. We're gonna talk together the latest national news. In Washington, the president used his State of the Union speech into an animated argument for a second term as he laced it into Donald Trump for espousing, quote, resentment, revenge, and retribution, and jeopardizing freedom at home and abroad. And at the end of the broadcast today, apparently, men must need a minimum amount of things to impress the ambitious single women in this city. But the question is, how much is too much? Going to talk about this and a lot more, too, of course, folks, when the update of Brandon Julian on a Friday, ready to jump into the weekend, returns in just a moment. Brandon Julian. Honestly, people, I would do anything for my wife, Tommy, but I know I'm not the best romantic person out there. There are more people that are more romantic than I am. Did you know, folks, that a long, long time ago, Prince Edward abdicated his right to the English throne to the woman he loved? Isn't that unbelievable? He had to choose between the woman he loved or being King of England. And that idiot chose the girl. Now, I'm sure, folks, that it was the right moment at that exact moment in time, and I'm happily in a relationship with my wife. But even in the best of moments, each person in a relationship has had a time where they thought, I've made an enormous mistake. But you know what, folks? I bet you never thought I could have been King of England. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
I've always wanted a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live
in a neighborhood with you.
So let's make the most of this beautiful day.
Since we're together, we might as well say,
would you be mine?
Could you be mine?
Won't you be my neighbor?
My neighbor?
Mr. Rogers passed along friendship in his neighborhood, hoping we would do the same. So let's get started. Friendship. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
As an educator, Mr. Nelson's teachings are still being quoted in schools.
Education is the most powerful weapon you can use to change the world.
Mr. Nelson taught hope.
Everyone can rise above their circumstances if they are dedicated and passionate.
And giving our best efforts.
It's always impossible until it's done.
Mr. Nelson Mandela's teachings not only united a nation, they inspire us today. Inspiration. Pass it on from PassItOn.com.
Brandon Julian, I've been the host of this show now for 7 years. That's right, 7 years. Now, if you had a job for 7 years, or if you were in a relationship or married to someone like I am with my wife for 7 years, you would think at this point you would know that person inside and out, backwards and forwards, wouldn't you? No, but no, not my wife. She's full of surprises. I can honestly sit here in this desk at this studio and say that after nearly 7 years of being with my wife, I know no more about her than the day that I got into a relationship with her. She's full of surprises. She's like Dora, or not Dora, a Swiper. He's very sneaky like that. This is the Update with Brandon and Julia, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies, it's time for Traffic and Weather Together.
Through the first half of 2024, F trains will run on the E line at all times in both directions between Rockefeller Center and Jackson Heights Roosevelt Avenue because of track replacement along the 63rd Street line. On weekdays, M trains will not run between Rockefeller Center and Forest Hill 71st Avenue. Trains will run between 57th Street on the F line and Metropolitan Avenue. A special F shuttle train will run every 20 minutes between Lexington Avenue, 63rd Street, and 21st Street, Queensbridge, stopping at Roosevelt Island. The shuttle train will not run overnight. Free shuttle buses will run between 21st Street, Queensbridge, and Queens Plaza on days and evenings, and between Roosevelt Island, 21st Street, Queensbridge, and Queens Plaza overnight. Through early 2024, Manhattan-bound 7 trains are skipping 111th Street and 82nd Street, Jackson Heights, because of station improvements. For nearby service, use a Flushing-bound 7 train or use the Q32 or Q48 buses on days and evenings along Roosevelt Avenue. Through the summer of 2024, Manhattan-bound J and Z trains are skipping 75th Street, Eldridge Lane, and Woodhaven Boulevard because of station improvements. For nearby service, use the Q56 bus making stops along Jamaica Avenue. The New York City Police Department would like to remind you to keep your belongings in sight and to stay aware of your surroundings. If you see something suspicious in the station or on the train, tell a police officer or an MTA employee. MTA crews are here to help us get around. Let's treat them with respect. Assaulting a New York City Transit employee is a felony, punishable by up to 7 years in prison. The fare on local, limited, and select bus service is $2.90, with the exception of the BX18A, BX18B, B60, M116, Q4, Q4 Limited, S46, and S96 Limited, until March 30th. Transfers on all other lines must be requested upon payment of the cash fare. For the S79 Select Bus Service, pay your fare on board the bus. For all other Select Bus Service routes, pay at the kiosk outside and hold your ticket for the duration of your trip. The fare on express buses is $7. Coins are not accepted as a payment on express buses.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
It seems like Ben Simmons is going to turn now into one of those Brooklyn Bus or those New York Bus that is a big name star, but it just has not really worked out here. The latest example being that Ben Simmons, is going to miss the remainder of the season yet again. The third straight year that the former All-Stars this season has ended early because of back problems. The Nets said yesterday that Simmons will use the rest of this season to consult with specialists and seek treatment options for the pinched nerve in his lower back that has sidelined him twice this season. Simmons has been limited to just 15 games this year. He missed 38 straight at one point, and at one point, I should try that again. He missed 38 straight at one point and has sat out of the last five. The number one pick in the 2016 draft will finish with averages of 6 points, nearly 8 boards, and nearly 6 assists. Not good. Also not good, the Nets' performance. They were in Detroit taking on the very lowly Detroit Pistons, who have the worst record in the NBA, I'd like to point out. Jaden Ivey scored 34, Cade Cunningham at 32 with 11 assists, to lead the Pistons to their first home win since January, 118-112. Detroit had lost 9 of their last 10 and hadn't won a home game since a 120-104 win over the Thunder back on January 28th. Dennis Schroeder had a season-high 31 for Brooklyn, which had won 3 of 4 before last night. Lonnie Walker IV scored 21. From the hardwood, let's go over to the ice. Devils and the Blues going at it. Devils trying to stay alive in the playoff chase. Timo Meier scored 3 goals and added an assist on an empty netter by Eric Halla, and the Devils beat the Blues 4-1, giving Jersey interim coach Travis Green his first win since he replaced Lindy Ruff earlier this week. Linemates Nico Hershier and Andres Platt each had 2 assists as the underperforming Devils snapped a 3-game losing streak. Nico Dawes made 23 saves for Jersey. Brandon Saad scored for the Blues, who've lost 2 in a row and remain outside of a wild card position in the Western Conference. Jordan Bennington had 29 saves. The results of what happened at President Biden's State of the Union address. Officials in Texas say that those power lines that ignited those deadly wildfires, apparently, those deadly wildfires, I should say, that destroyed homes and livestock in the panhandle of Texas, it was started by power lines. There we go. And we're remembering Steve Lawrence, a singer, a top stage act as a solo performer, and in tandem with his wife, Eddie Gorm, kept Tin Pan Alley alive during the rock era. Going to talk about this and more because national news, it's next for us around here, of course. With limited screw-ups, I hope. When the update of Brandon Julian continues. But first, ladies and gentlemen, we do have to inform you about the following.
Where has the time gone? I really hope that I didn't write that line. Did I write that line? Well, maybe I actually did. We're now celebrating 7 years of this program. 7 long news-filled years. My producers, who look for any excuse to hold a celebration, are having one every weekend as we go into the update archives to play you an episode from throughout the many years of this program. And then on the weekends, also once a month, we'll play an episode from my list of personal favorites throughout the many years of this program, as I explain to you why that particular episode is one of my favorites. So every weekend, dig into the update archives with us to remember where you were when this particular episode aired. And then once a month, the list of my favorite episodes as well. Keep listening on the weekends because it'll be a party that you will never forget. Unless, of course, you can't actually remember it from, well, you know, the night before. You know, as I was growing up, my mother told me to always wipe my feet on the mat before I go into the studio. Well, Mom, this one's for you. There's a lot more show to stick around and listen to as the update of Brandon Julian. We'll be right back after these messages. Brandon Julian. You know, Valentine's Day coming up. We surprise the ones we love with those big red hearts, you know, filled with the gamble chocolate. Think about it. Has anybody ever eaten any chocolate of those with any confidence? You're like, oh, this is either going to be really good or horribly nasty. Guess I'm just big enough to find out. Oh, I got the one filled with toothpaste. Gonna take another 9 of those to get rid of that flavor. You know, there's a big red heart filled with the gamble chocolate. Otherwise, there's the tiny heart-shaped antacids. I know I make you nauseous. Here's a Tums with Hug Me written on it. You know, maybe that'll help. This is the update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough. But if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk, a message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
From New York, home of your NCAA men's champion UConn Huskies, this is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you're listening to podcasts. Welcome back to the update, Brandon Julian, on a Friday, everyone. A getaway Friday for some of us, most definitely a Friday for others. We're about to spring forward on Saturday night. Make sure, of course, you set your clocks forward 1 hour before you go to bed. Yes, we lose that hour of sleep, but it means later and later sunsets. A true sign that spring is definitely on the way. And then summer. Summer looks like it's going to be fun, too. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us.
Let us talk together right now, of course, the latest national news. And we are going to begin, of course, in Washington, where President Biden, he delivered his State of the Union address last night in the midst of an election year. He turned his speech into an animated argument for a second term as he laced into the GOP frontrunner, the former president, Donald Trump, for espousing, quote, resentment, revenge, and retribution, and also jeopardizing freedom at home and abroad. Biden delivered broadsides yesterday at, quote, my predecessor, without ever mentioning Trump by name, raising his voice as he tried to quell voter concerns about his age and his job performance while sharpening the contrast with his all but certain November rival. Biden goaded Republican lawmakers over their policies, invited call and response banter with fellow Democrats on economic issues, taxes, and health care, and seemed to revel in the fight. Senior officials say that the U.S. military is going to deploy to set up a temporary port off the coast of Gaza. The president made that announcement during the State of the Union address yesterday. The senior official spoke on the condition of anonymity to preview those plans. The temporary port will be part of an international push to open a sea route, delivering food and other aid to desperate Palestinian civilians. U.S. and U.N. officials say growing numbers of Gaza's nearly 2.5 million people are at risk of famine in the Israel-Hamas war. That's due in part to Israeli restrictions on overland delivery of aid. The U.S. officials say that there will be no U.S. military boots, actually, on the ground. In the state of Texas, officials there say that apparently the source of those deadly wildfires in the panhandle that destroyed homes and livestock and left a charred landscape was caused by power lines. Texas A&M Forest Service said yesterday that investigators concluded that power lines ignited the Smokehouse Creek and Windy Deuce fires. Xcel Energy also said yesterday in a news release that its equipment appeared to have played a role in the starting of the Smokehouse Creek fire. That blaze has burned nearly 1,700 square miles and has spilled into neighboring Oklahoma. It was 74% contained as of yesterday. Xcel Energy, though, disputes claims of negligence in maintaining and operating the infrastructure. Out to the American West we go now, to Inglewood in California, where Carol G made history at the 2024 Billboard Women in Music Award ceremony. She said on Wednesday in her acceptance speech, quote, this is the first time ever a Latina is named Woman of the Year. And so, in honor of that incredible feat, she delivered the rest of her speech in Spanish. The global superstar was awarded during the event at the YouTube Theater in Inglewood with an introduction from her Griselda co-star Sofia Vergara. A lot of international acts were highlighted, like Nigerian singer Tems, Puerto Rico's Young Miko, and K-pop girl group New Jeans, as well as all-stars Charlie XCX, Maren Morris, Victoria Monet, and Pink Pantheress. Down the coast in nearby San Francisco, a United Airlines jetliner that lost a tire on takeoff made a safe emergency landing in Los Angeles. Flight 35 left San Francisco and was bound for Osaka, Japan, yesterday. United says there were 235 passengers and a crew of 14 on the plane. United says the plane is designed to land safely with missing or damaged tires. Video shows the plane losing one of the six tires on its left side main landing gear, assumably seconds after takeoff. The tire smashed into an smashed into a car at an employee parking lot at the San Francisco International Airport. And finally, we're going to come back here to New York, where we've learned that Steve Lawrence, a singer and top stage act, who as a solo performer and in tandem with his wife Eddie Gorm, kept Tin Pan Alley alive during the rock era. He died yesterday at the age of 88. Lawrence, whose hits included Go Away, Little Girl, died from complications due to Alzheimer's disease, according to a spokesperson for the family. By the 70s, Lawrence and his wife were a top draw in Vegas casinos and in nightclubs across the country. They also appeared regularly on TV, making specials and guesting on various shows. Lawrence had his first hit in 1962 with the kingly romantic ballad, Go Away, Little Girl. He also made TV appearances in TV shows such as Diagnosis Murder and The Nanny. He, of course, will be very deeply missed. For some women in this city, they're looking ambitious. And men apparently need bare minimums to impress them. But how much is too much? What are New York City women willing to settle for? Let's talk about that, because your honorable mention is next when the update, Brandon Julian, continues.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
It's news for New Yorkers who never stop moving. This is the update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome back to the update, Brandon Julian, on a Friday, everyone. TGIF to all of you out there, a getaway Friday for some of us, most definitely a Fri-yay for others. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us. You know, folks, there is just enough time left today, of course, for your honorable mention. Let's face it, dating in the city of New York is definitely a challenge. Most people think that in order to date ambitious single women in this town, you need to be 6 feet tall, a six-pack, and have a six-figure salary. Of course, on the female side of the equation, many are also hoping that their date is endowed with a trust fund, an Ivy League degree, and a summer house in the Hamptons. I remember when I first met my wife that I did not have none of that. I think I remember telling her, I know she's going to kill me if I get the story wrong, but I think I remember telling her that, you know, throughout my life, and this is definitely tending into personal territory now. Throughout my life, I had basically been used by other people for money and whatnot. But my wife was different at the time. She really did not care about that. She just cared about spending precious time together. Quality time, as it's known these days, of course. And I say this because there was a recent survey from the dating app Flirtini that found that about 80% of women are open to lowering their standards, though, in order to meet a mate. But are the ladies, the single ladies, as Beyonce would say, all the single ladies in the Big Apple willing to do the same? Of course, it's no secret that dating has always been a blood spot here in New York, where the world's most eligible and ambitious jockey to bolster both their prospects and their social standing. But the list of non-negotiables is seemingly more outlandish than ever. You might remember recently we told you about a Reddit thread where men were saying the things that they would not negotiate about, including multiple people that said that their woman could not eat peanut butter. Well, one persnickety Manhattanite, age 30, told the New York Post, the people who wrote this article, quote, "I would 100% not date a guy who lives in Queens, and I do a heavy stalk before saying yes to anyone who lives in Brooklyn or in Jersey." Well, you see, in the case of my wife, you see, I live in Harlem. Again, this is trending in the personal territory. I find that doing it a lot with these stories. I live in Harlem, and my wife lives out in Staten Island. So I take a train, a ferry, and a bus to get there, and I have absolutely no regrets whatsoever. You know, people say all the time that Staten Island is the borough, the forgotten borough, but I say it has some of the best stuff out there, and the cheapest stuff, too. Another selective singleton, age 23, weighed in, quote, "All three of my last boyfriends have Wikipedia pages." That actually is so good. That's actually pretty fun. Pretty funny. One New York dater, age 24, declared, quote, "Money's nice, but a private jet sweetens the deal." Well, it makes sense, of course, that the single ladies of New York have sky-high standards. Young women now out-earn the young men in the borough of Manhattan. So why would they waste time with a male who doesn't measure up? But also, wouldn't it be wise for Big Apple beauties to lower their standards for lasting love? Are the super successful, super fussy daters hurting themselves, waiting for a perfect partner who may not even exist? Well, dating expert Amber Solotti says yes, and also no. Solotti tells the Post, quote, "I have met tons of singles through my dating events, both men and women, who have crazy expectations for their partner, and I feel sad for a lot of them who are clearly feeling lonely and going to remain single forever." The dating expert said that she understands, quote, the dating deal breakers, and, quote, "used to be one of the worst offenders when she lived in Manhattan. She now resides in Austin, Texas, where she's happily married." She says, quote, "When someone presents me with a list of 20-plus things they have to have, I ask them to try cutting it down to 5 to 10 things, and they then all of a sudden have so many more options." Dating apps, of course, they've also fueled the fast steadiness with which women can select their prospective suitors. The most infamous research came from 2009, when it found that women rate a massive 80% of men as unattracted or below average. And Bumble and Hinge have only accelerated the ick, in quotes. Which brings me, again, these stories seem to bring me back to my personal life. You know, around the time that I met my wife all those years ago, I personally thought at the time that I was a bit unattractive because the situations that I had been in did not really work out the way that I had hoped. But apparently, if you look in the right places or just do a lot of hoping and praying, the right person will find you, or the other way around in some cases. In any event, the next generation of Carrie Bradshaws aren't swiping on a schlub with unfiltered fishing photos on his profile. They're in hot pursuit of their own Mr. Big. One single 46-year-old said, quote, "Dating was always a minefield, but now I think it's even crazier because you can always scroll and find someone cooler or hotter or richer." Still, there are some surprising things that the relationship guru Soletti believes that women should not budge on. First of all, if you're only attracted to men of a certain height or physique, you may be superficial, but it's okay to keep your high standards. Meanwhile, the guru says that dating someone with the same political beliefs and views on child rearing should also be a non-negotiable. It's not in the story, but I personally think, ask if the person you like is a Mets fan. I have found that personally, it will go much better in your household, especially when baseball season starts to roll around again. Soletti explains, quote, "If you try to compromise on those types of deal breakers, you are going to end up in a relationship with a lot of arguing, resentment, and eventual demise." But she asserts that the singles of this town should think twice before writing a man based off his income. She goes on to explain that, quote, "There are a lot of very financially successful men that work in other less glamorous jobs and industries that they," referring to single women, "won't consider because they don't work in finance, real estate, law, or entertainment, or whatever sexy profession they have built their fantasy around. Other women," she says, "refuse to date men who are younger than them." Her advice, lower that standard by lowering your age cutoff. The relationship expert declared that, quote, "A lot of women won't even take the time to get to know a guy that doesn't fall within their age range, who could very well be bringing everything to the table that they are looking for, not to mention likely have less baggage." So, for all the fussy ladies still looking for love in New York City, Soletti says that you should just simply reevaluate rather than disregard your high standards. She declared, "Don't throw out all of your criteria. Just be willing to compromise on some." Which also makes me think they really need, rest in peace, Jerry Springer, but they need to bring back that TV show, the game show network, Baggage. It was really the best way, I think, that would help people find a mate. And if you don't know what Baggage is, just Google Baggage Game Show Network or something, and just watch a couple of episodes. I think it really was a great show back then. They need to bring that back in a 2024 reboot. I will let you guys ponder on this, as we say in the words of Walter Cronkite, "That's the way it is." Friday, March the 8th, 2024. That is the update on this Friday and for this week. I'm Brandon Julian. We appreciate you being here with us. In 2017, it was year number one of this program, and there were a lot of classics in year one. But one episode from that year was one of my personal favorite episodes. And I will explain why when the next episode in my list of personal favorites comes next Saturday on the 16th, wherever, of course, you listen to this podcast. So until you brace yourself for the rain and then the wind to come after that, in the words, of course, of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hopefully that your news, folks, will be good news. I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck, be safe, and most importantly, folks, please be well. And honey, I might be a little late tonight because the people at my job are throwing me an awards dinner in my honor. It could take me several hours just to find out where it is. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for spending some of your time with us. I hope you have a good weekend. Stay dry and stay warm. And I will see you right back here, refreshed and ready to go on Monday, when the sun goes down a little after 7 o'clock these days, as we remember to spring your clocks forward 1 hour before you go to bed on Saturday night. Have a good weekend. See you Monday.